بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك. Dear brothers, continuing our درس about the hadith of Jibreel عليه السلام, which is talking about the major cases on the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. It's talking about Islam, the five pillars of Islam. It's talking about Iman, the six pillars of Iman. It's talking about Ihsan, it's talking about the hour or the finishing of this world. We finished talking about the first pillar of Islam, and we said that the other four pillars of Islam will have separate dars, inshallah, or some dars, four or five or six dars, inshallah, will come. Sheikh Majid, inshallah, Majid al-Bakr, will start it, inshallah, the week after next week, talking about Tahara, Salah, Sawm, Hajj, Zakah, inshallah, within the period of about 5 weeks up to Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. So we continue to talk about the first pillar of Islam. Then we talked also about the pillars of Iman, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in the angels, believing in the books, the messengers. And tonight, inshallah, we'll talk about the fifth pillar of Iman, which is believing on the last day. What do we mean by the last day? Actually, to believe in the last day, it means to believe whatever comes after death. When a human being dies, there are a lot of things will happen after his death, starting with his soul leaving his body. Then he is put in the grave. His soul will come back to his, or will be brought back to his body. He will stay in the grave for a while. Then he will be again awakened up to meet the judgment, to see the judgment, to face the judgment. Then after that, he will be sent to Jannah or to Hellfire. Nasrullah alayhi wa sallam. For all of these things, plus other things we'll talk about, a believer will not be counted as a believer on the judgment day or the last day unless he believes of all of these things. So peace be upon peace, we'll talk about these points inshallah, remembering the ayahs and the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have told us, and the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in his hadith about these things, and that a mu'min must believe in these in order to be counted, as a mu'min. The case of believing in the judgment day or the last day is a really important case. In fact, lots of Arabs in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not believe in the judgment day, and they said that it's only a case of that women are giving birth and earth will take them back, and there is no judgment day nor anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his holy book and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his correct hadith talked a lot about this case of the judgment day. First of all, there is a very important reason for talking about the judgment day. Subhanallah, we know as human beings that a human being in this life probably will have unfair life one way or another. Yani, so many people have died with unfair treatment of the others. Sometimes they are losing their money, sometimes they are losing their life even unfairly. So in this case, we have to put in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we will talk about it later on inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a human being, if he lives only this life thinking that there will be no judgment day, he will be so bad, he will feel so bad, because he cannot take all of his rights in this life. And we always give an example of a criminal who gets into a house of a family, say 10 people, 10 persons of this family, the father, the mother, the children, they are 10 almost, and this criminal will kill them all.
Now when he kills him, let's say he is captured by the police and the court or the judge has decided that he should be killed. If this happens, although sometimes it doesn't, if this happens, one soul of this criminal will be lost. For how many souls? 10 souls. Is this just? Is this fair? It's not fair. This person should be killed 10 times for each one person or each soul he should be killed for it. So he should be killed 10 times. That's impossible, of course, in this life. So there has to be a judgment day. There has to be a day where he is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the rights of these people who have been killed to be given to them from this criminal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a just. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. So there has to be a way to have these rights of these people who have been killed by one person. However, this is just a mental proof of the judgment day. We do not want to talk about it much in the beginning. But I just brought this as an example to see how a human being must really think and believe that there will be a judgment day or the last day. What do we mean by believing in the judgment day? We said at the beginning that we should believe or have a certain dogma, certain belief in all what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated about that day in His holy book. All what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in his hadith about what will happen to human being after his death. So let's take it piece by piece to see what do we mean by that. Upon the hadith of Awf ibn Malik al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, and which is also we mentioned maybe a few weeks ago, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and some other sahaba, they went to the graveyard of Baqi' al-Gharqad to bury one of the sahaba who died that night. So when they reached the graveyard, they found the grave is not ready yet. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down among his sahaba and he told them that if when a human being is dying, if he is a good person, a good Muslim, then he will see, okay, he's dying now, he's not dead yet, he's dying. He will see a nice, good-looking angel who is coming to him to tell him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied with you. So he will be so happy. So his soul will be leaving his body easily. The soul will leave the body easily. Why? Because he knows what after death is better than what was before death. So, in this case, as Muhammad has told us in the hadith, that his soul will be leaving his body like you are bringing the water out of something. It goes so smooth. It goes smoothly out of the body. Vice versa, the kafir or the fasiq, when he is dying, a very bad looking faces coming to him to tell him that you are going to be severely hurted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be in trouble because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not satisfied with you. So he will be so afraid and his soul will run away in his body. So his soul will not go out easily because he knows what's after this. He knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not satisfied with him. He is going to be tortured. He is going to be severely tortured or punished. So his soul will run away in his body, will not leave easily. So the angels will take it so harshly. That is in the dying time. But after this, when he dies, the soul is out of the body now. The body is only a body. Only without soul. Cannot move, cannot talk. So then, people will clean him up, will make ghusl for him. Then he will be taken to the graveyard. Then he will be put in the grave. Then he will be buried. Remember that if you are the person who is buried, the people who loved you are the people who are going to put soil on your grave. And they will leave you alone in the darkness. Alone, 3 people will follow you as Muhammad SAW told, 3 things will follow you.
your money, your family, and your deeds. Two of them will come back. Your family, your money. One only will be with you. Your deeds. If good deeds, alhamdulillah. If bad deeds, astaghfirullah. It is the case that all of these people lost you. Yani, just imagine if you ask any of your family, your beloved family, to stay with you in the graveyard even one night. Will they? Nobody will stay with you in the grave. Even one night, even one hour. So this, they will leave you alone. Only your good deeds or bad deeds will be in the grave. Now, when a person is buried, two angels will come to him. And they will ask him these three questions, as you remember. Who is your Lord? Man Rabbuk? What's your deen? Who is this person who has been sent to you? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, good Muslims will answer this easily because they have been practicing this in their life. Is that the case of memorizing these answers and go to the grave and say it? Is the case that only those people who have really done what these things necessitate, all these people can answer these questions. Others, as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, the good mu'min will say, Rabbi Allah, wa deeni al-Islam, wa nabiyyi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Easily and smoothly. The other guys, the hypocrites, the kafirin, will say, huh? Huh? I don't know, I have to say something, I said it. He's just said it by his tongue, because he did not practice it in his life, he did not believe in it. So in this case, what will happen to him? See, first of all, what will happen to the Muslim who has already answered these good questions, and in a good answer, or best answer. The angels, all this in the hadith of Awf ibn Malik, by the way, and this is all told by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Sahih al-Bukhari, hadith of Awf ibn Malik al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. So the good Muslim will say, will answer these questions, then the angels will open a window to the hellfire. Yes. And when he sees it, he is afraid. They will say, this was your place if you did not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they will close it. Now closing the window here to hellfire is some kind of happiness to the person, because he's alhamdulillah safe now from hellfire. Then they will open another window to Jannah. And he will smell the nice smell of Jannah. He will hear the good sounds of birds and others in Jannah. He will see Jannah. He will feel Jannah. Then they will tell him, just relax. He will say, Ya Allah, next judgment day, I want to come to my family. I want to come to my place, my Jannah. He will say, just sleep for a while. While the other one, the hypocrite or the kafir, when he cannot answer these three questions, they will open a window to Jannah for him. Some kind of teasing. Huh? He will see Jannah, how nice it is. They will say, that was your place in Jannah if you have obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will close it, they will open a window to hellfire, a'udhu billah, with the bad smell, darkness, heat. They will say, this is your place because you did not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will hit him with a very large hammer, mirzabba. And he will cry, he will go deep 70 yards or 70 meters in earth. And he will cry that everybody can hear him except al-thaqalain, al-jinn wal-is. La ilaha illallah. That's why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the meaning of the hadith, if I was going to do something, I would have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let you hear some of what is the torture of these people who are facing in the grave. It's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we do not hear this torture, otherwise we cannot live in this life actually. What is the proof that there will be fitna in the grave? There will be a torture or unease and happiness in the grave. very easy. For example, some ayahs, some hadith of Allah, some ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his holy book, some hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's hear it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about Ali Fir'aun. Ali Fir'aun, yani the people of Fir'aun. النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب. So آل فرعون is seeing the hellfire in the morning and the evening, and in the judgment day they will happen this and this. Nah. So he's talking about before judgment day. So what's happening to these آل فرعون is actually before judgment day. What's before judgment day? The grave, the barzakh. And also the hadith of Abu Malik Ansari, as Muhammad told us, what will happen to the people in the grave for the good Muslims and for the bad people. So a Muslim, in order to be counted as a believer of the last day, he must believe on the what happens to the person, or to the person, whether he is a Muslim or a kafir, in the grave. Fitnat wa adab wa na'im al-qabr. That's called in Arabic. The second thing we are going to talk about, also about the case of the judgment day or the last day, is to believe in the case of resurrection. So after a person is buried, after he's been asked, after he is receiving ease and happiness on the grave or torture, then there will be a resurrection. As Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us that a human being, a regular human being, not shuhada, not anbiya, their bodies will go, except small piece of the back bone. The last piece of the bone, the back, the bone, which is the end of the back, will be left only. And from that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recreate the human being again for resurrection. He will be alive again, same person, with different capabilities. Of course, a human being in life is having very limited capabilities, but in the judgment day it differs. How can we know that? How can we prove it? We know that since the human being will stand 50,000 years on his own feet, without food, without drinking, facing the sun, which is pretty close to him. So that means a human being at that time is not the same as a human being here in the case of capabilities, but he's the same person with the same name, with the same mother's name, same father's name, and he will stand after that. As Muhammad told us in the hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order the heavens, the clouds, to send a rain, a heavy rain, that will make people come out of their graves. And in Surah Al-Qari'ah, Allah told us that people will come out of their graves like butterflies. كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ. Butterflies which comes all together in one time. People are running around. They didn't know what's going on. So, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So they come in groups out to see and to face their deeds, whether they are good or bad. Also, part of believing in the last day, to believe in the case of Shafa'ah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the other people. Upon the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is in Bukhari also, he told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that people after staying 50,000 years standing without clothes, without food, without drinking, without shade, as Allah created them in the beginning, they will discuss all together, what can we do? We are standing here for so long, why don't we find someone to make shafa'ah for us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make the judgment. Khalas, we want to get rid of this judgment. We are tired of standing in here. So they agree to go to their father, Adam alayhi salam. So they go to Adam alayhi salam, and they will tell him, Ya Adam, you are our father. Do shafa'ah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make judgment. We are so tired standing here 50,000 years. So Adam says, no. He will say, no, I cannot. Go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. They come to Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says, no. Go to Musa. They come to Musa alayhi salam. He says, no. Go to Isa. They come to Isa alayhi salam. He says, no. Go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when they come to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, yes, I am for it. I am the one to do it. So he goes to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he makes sujood. And he makes sujood sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him what he wants. He gives him first shafa'ah, which is to allow the people for judgment. That's part of believing in the last day. And a believer cannot be counted as a believer unless he believes in the case of shafa'ah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not the only shafa'ah, of course, as we discussed before, but this is the case which is contradicting or talking about the case of the last day or judgment day. Then comes the case of judgment and scaling people. So every one of us and each one of us will be brought with his good deeds and bad deeds and will be put in the scale. Two sides of the scale. Good deeds on one side, bad deeds on one side. That's of course only for those manifest, because for this and the kafirs and the hypocrites are not going to go to the scale. Khalas, they are finished. But those only for the manifest, they will be counted how much good deeds they have, how much bad deeds they have. So a believer, a manifest, each one of us, each one of us is having good deeds and bad deeds. None of us that we have no bad deeds, every one of us. So good deeds will be there, bad deeds will be there. If the good deed is heavier, then the person will be sent to Jannah. If the bad deeds are heavier, person may be sent to hellfire, but maybe also may have shafa'ah, not to go to hellfire at all. So it depends. But still we are going in sequence. So we have to believe in the scale which is going to scale our good deeds and bad deeds after manifestation. Then, after sending the kafirin and hypocrites to hellfire, trying to follow mu'mins with their lives, because the mu'min in the judgment day will be given a life to see his way, while the hypocrites and the kafirin will not have light, so they will walk in the darkness, seeing nothing. Walking all around. قالوا يرونا نقتبس من نوركم إلى رجعوا وراكم فالتمسوا نورا. The hypocrites are asking the mu'mineen, the believers, to wait for them so they can see the road or the way with their light. So they say, no, go away. Then comes the sirat. Sirat is actually called in Arabic sirat for the way or the road. That is something on the hellfire, on it. Yani no one can go to Jannah unless they pass by the sirat. By the way, sirat is only for manifest. Yani kafirin, prophets, others have already gone to hellfire. Khalas, finished. But when the believers, when the manifest, when they get scaled and their good deeds are heavier, they will be sent on top of hellfire to pass to Jannah. Ah, here comes the point. How people will pass this sirat, which is sharper than a sword, sharper than a piece of hair? Allah knows subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he told us that Muhammad has told us in the hadith that some of the Muslims, the mu'mins, the believers, the manifest, will pass like a light. Some of them will pass like fast horses. Some of them will pass like quick runners. Some of them will pass like walking people. Some of them will pass like people who are going on their feet and hands together. Some of them will be catched by the kalabib to hellfire. Of course, all of these who fall into hellfire, they will not stay there still. They will not be settled in hellfire. They will face some
punishment, then they will go to Jannah after that. But they have to pass through the Sirat to Jannah. So believing in Sirat is part of believing in the last day. When they pass this Sirat, they are in front of Jannah. It is closed. It's closed until Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم comes and knocks the door for them and makes shafa'a for them to get into Jannah. In some hadith that people on that area will be rechecked again and rejudged also, so the poor ones will get to Jannah before the rich ones 500 years. 500 years between the rich people and the poor people. Poor people will get to Jannah 500 years earlier than the rich people. Why? Because the rich people have a lot of money, although it's halal, in and out, still they need to see how they get it. As the hadith of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, that you are going to be asked in every, each piece of money you have. Also, we have to remember and believe also that before getting to Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pass the good Muslims into a river. This river will take out every bad feeling to Muslims in our chest or in our heart. So when we pass in this river, when we are cleaned by this river, every bad feeling to our Muslim brothers will be gone out. خلاص. So we will be loved, will be so beloved Muslims together. We have no bad feeling to the others. Jannah is clean. Nobody can get into Jannah with jealousy, with bad feelings to Muslims. خلاص, this will go away. Part of believing in the last day also is to believe in the Jannah and the Hellfire. And these two cases is very important and needs a lot of discussion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all of the Jannah people. Jannah and Hellfire, both of them have been described a lot in the holy book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As an example, these ayahs in Surah Al-Ra'd. مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ غَيْرِ آسٍ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَّبَنٍ لَّمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن خَمْرٍ لَّذَّةٍ لِّلشَّارِبِينَ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن عَسَلٍ مُّصَفًّى. Four rivers for each mu'min. Each believer in Jannah, he has four rivers in his house, in his door in Jannah. Four rivers. One river of clean water. One river of laban. One river of asal, honey. One river of khamr. Khamr but without alcohol. Khamr will not change the mind. Also, in Jannah, the place of the mu'min, يعني the smallest place, the smallest Jannah, piece of Jannah for every mu'min, is the one which is 11 times of one, يعني what one king of this earth is owning. Upon the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that one, the last person who leaves Hellfire to Jannah, because he's a monotheist, but he has some bad deeds. His bad deeds are way a lot of than his good deeds. Although he was a monotheist, Allah sent him to Hellfire. So the last one will leave Hellfire to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him out of Hellfire, will put him before Jannah. So he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, please move me far away from Hellfire. I want to get rid of it. He did not ask Jannah now. He just wants to get far away from Hellfire. So Allah moved him a little bit. And he says, Ya Allah, move me a little bit to that tree so I will be shaded. So Allah stays him there. Then he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be close to the door of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is laughing. Because this human being is a human being. He will never keep his promises. Although he promised Allah not to ask anymore. So he moved him to the door of the Jannah. He said, Ya Allah, please
get me inside a little bit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets him inside. Then he, when he gets inside, he sees that every place is full. No place for him. So he said, Ya Allah, no place for me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, aren't you going to be satisfied if you get like one territory of the one of the kings of this dunya? He will say, Ya Allah, yes, good enough. He said, and thrice, until he said 11 times. And he says, yes. Every time he says, yes, Ya Allah, yes, Ya Allah. Until he gets him. That's the last person who gets out of hellfire to Jannah. What about those people who have been in Jannah in the beginning? What about those people who are the messengers of Allah, the prophets of Allah, the shuhada, the good people like you? What about them? How nice are they going to face? What are they going to see in Jannah? What are they going to get in Jannah? Unbelievable. فيها ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. الله أكبر. In Jannah, it has in the Jannah things that you never seen. You have never seen. Things that you never heard of. Things that you have never thought of. From where? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Jannah, you can sit down with your family 500 years discussing cases without being tired. No sleeping in Jannah. Why? Because sleeping is weakness. And no time for sleeping in Jannah. You have to enjoy every time, all the time. No time for sleeping. Your body does not sleep. Do you need to go to the bathroom? No, you do not. In Jannah, you don't have to do this. All you have to do is that when you eat, you will sweat a fantastic smell of musk or musk. Ya Allah. And more and more. How much we'll talk about Jannah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be merciful with us and send us to Jannah. Also, in Jannah, there is a fantastic gift of Allah, or price of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That is the best ever thing that a human being would love to see. To see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the people of Jannah, after they enjoy Jannah, Allah will talk to them. Are you happy? Oh my slaves, are you happy? They will say, Ya Allah, we are so happy. This, there is one more promise I have to give you. I have promised you something I want to give you now. Ya Allah, what is? You have given us everything. He said, no. The meaning of this, of course. So he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, shows them his face. Allahu Akbar. And they have, it has never been a tasty thing that they ever thought of. Something they never think of when they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this happiness. When they get in Jannah in the beginning, by the way, and when the hellfire people get into hellfire, there is some kind of a prize for the people of Jannah. A psychological prize. You have to remember, happiness in here is not only by body, food and other things. It's also happiness by heart. So when they get to Jannah, and the people the people of hellfire goes to hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a sheep. And he will ask the people of Jannah, do you know this? And he will ask the hellfire people, do you know this? They say, yes, Ya Allah, this is the death. The death itself. So the death will be killed. So Ahl al-Jannah will be told, Ya Ahl al-Jannah, khuludun fala maut. Yani stay forever. Ya Ahl al-Nar, khuludun fala maut. Yani stay in hellfire forever. La ilaha illallah. Rich people now, in this life, they have a lot of money to enjoy, but they cannot enjoy it totally, actually. They cannot enjoy it because how much they can eat, how much they can drink, how much they can wear, how much they can ride, how much they can use, not much. Plus, while they are having the money, they are so afraid that the money will go away. They are so afraid that they cannot use the money because of their sickness and so on. But in Jannah, there's a guarantee
there's a guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the habits they are having will not be taken from them. So Allah guaranteed them health, guaranteed them whatever they had, guaranteed them the happiness. So everything is guaranteed for them. Are they going to be afraid? Are they going to be afraid to lose it? No. So this is a very important part of the happiness of Ahlul Jannah. Vice versa, the people of hellfire, na'udhu billahi minannar, what are they going to face? In the abundant hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that hellfire, it has been lit 1,000 years until it became white, then another 1,000 years until it became red, and another 1,000 years until it became black. So the flame of hellfire is not lifting. The flame of hellfire is not lifting. It's darkness. And when they get into hellfire, Allah told us subhanahu wa ta'ala, كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَبُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. When their skin is burned, so they will not fear anymore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their skins again with a new skin. Why? To face and to suffer the torture of hellfire. Subhanallah, a human being is discovered later on that a human being, when he loses his skin, he will never feel anything. Yani, if this skin is burned, the meat, the bones will not feel. There's no feeling muscles. Or, yani, they cannot feel anything. So in hellfire, their skin will be burned, of course, because it's a hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their skins every time. Why? To suffer, to feel. Why is this? Why are they going to face all of this torture? All of this adab? Because in life time, they did not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His rububiyyah, in His uluhiyyah, in His names and qualities. They did not leave what they desire to satisfy Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. They enjoyed polytheism as they can enjoy it. They gave the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the grace, to the people or to the parliament. They did not give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what He deserved. He created them subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship Him. And they did not do what they are supposed to do. So what are they going to get? Do you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give these people who do not obey Him, will give them happiness? No way. No justice here. It's not fair that a person who has been created only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he refuses to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him Jannah. That's impossible. Of course, the other way, that a person who is created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does his best to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fair, will never torture him. But here comes the case. Our lifetime, how many years? Nuh alayhi salam, the people before him, they used to live more 1,000 years. Fine. What about us? As Muhammad told us in his hadith, is his ummah between 60 to 70. If we spend these years to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will get endless life in Jannah. Endless life in Jannah. And those people who do not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people who fall into polytheism, or mock to the religion, make fun of Islam, of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people who obey others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like parliament or democracy and so on, they didn't deserve to go to Jannah, of course. They have rejected and refused to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See Iblis as an example. Shaytan was one of the most knowledgeable person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he refused the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he deserves hellfire.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. So the result for Iblis was hellfire. The result for the people who followed Iblis is hellfire. يعني remember, we in this life must worship. So whether we worship Allah, this is the correct way, or we worship Iblis, this is another way, or worship our own desires. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَاهُ. يعني he worships his desires, he obeys his desires, he his desire tells him to drink alcohol, he drinks, use drugs, smoke hash, grass, he will do, fall into adultery, he will do whatever he wants, desire, he is following and obeying his desires. So is he worshipping Allah? He's worshipping his desires. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. هَوَى means the desires. So a person who is following his desires, although it's contradicting with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not deserve Jannah. He deserves the fire. So people are worshipping. For sure they are. No human being, no mankind can live without worshipping. But some of them worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them worship their desires. Some of them worship Shaitan. How do they worship Shaitan? By obeying him. أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Worship Shaitan? Yes, they do. They obey him in every time he tells them to do what they want to do. So he told them not to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told them to bow to the station. He told them to obey the parliamentists, contradicting Sharia. He told them to obey the priests. As Allah told us subhanahu wa ta'ala about the Christians, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. How did they do this? عدي بن حاتم or عدي بن حاتم رضي الله عنه, he was a Christian before he accepted Islam. He came after he accepted Islam, he just accepted Islam, he came and he heard Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم reciting the ayah, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله, which is talking about the Christians and Jews, that they have taken their priests as lords. So Adi ibn Hatim did not understand the ayah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, we never worship them, thinking that worshipping is to bow, to make sujood to these priests. He said, we never do this, Ya Rasulullah. He said, Rasulullah told him, no, you did. Didn't they? See, the meaning of the hadith said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling Adi ibn Hatim, didn't they tell you to make halal as haram and you accepted? He said, yes. He said, didn't they tell you to make halal things as haram? He said, yes. He said, this is the worship. Now be careful. Nowadays, we have some people want Muslims to worship the parliament, or worship the democracy, or worship the laws, imported laws, by obeying them to allow alcohol or to allow zina. So in the parliament, they sit down, they discuss, how about if we make zina halal, because people need it. So 55% of the parliament, they say yes, so make it halal. Allow the zina to be in the country, give licenses for these places for zina. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in his holy book that this is not allowed, totally, this is kabira, major sin. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. If you say no problem, do it. Whom are we supposed to obey? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or these parliaments or others? They sit down in the parliament and say, how about alcohol? Can we make it halal or make it haram? 60% say, no, we want to make it halal because it's important for people to come to the country. Nobody comes to the country from Europeans or Americans unless there is alcohol. If there is no alcohol, nobody comes to our country for tourism. So make it halal. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us clearly in his holy book that it is haram, it is a major sin. No problem. SubhanAllah. So in this case, a Muslim have to put in mind that Jannah is not made for those people who want to follow their desires. or they to worship their gods. It's made for those people who really worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although monotheism in this life is not easy, it's not cheap. Jannah is not cheap. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَنْ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. يعني they have faced a lot of troubles in order to be in the right track. Don't think that Islam is easy. Although it is simple, yes, but it is not easy to take it and to be a true Muslim in this life. Every true Muslim, he comes to take Islam correctly and totally, he is going to face troubles, exactly as Allah told us in His holy book, in the beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. Every مؤمن who says that he is a true believer and he is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as he can, he is going to be tested. It's not just freely to get Jannah easily like this. There has to be a test in this life to see who deserves Jannah. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so fair, so just subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will make you see it by your own self, by your own eyes, that if you deserve Jannah or not, by testing you. Every Muslim of us is going to be tested. How are we going to be tested? Writing test? No, it is a complete life test. When we face this life, we see polytheism all around us. People are going to these graves asking instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People are obeying these parliaments who are making shirk among us. And we accept it and obey it and allow it because we are going to get some benefit behind that. Then this is not, this is the person who is doing this has failed the test. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although he was the best person ever walked in earth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was tested also. How did he live, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Until he was 40 years old, he was fantastically easy, no problem in his life. People loved him. People loved him because he was an honest person, fantastic person. No troubles at all. Then, when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was sent as a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how many troubles he faced? Those people who used to respect him and love him started to hate him, to hurt him, to give him bad names. Why? Because it's a test. It is a test for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like any other people. Every one of us will have a test. He was called bad names. People rejected what he said, tried to kill him, put dirty things on his back, spit in his face, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, we want Jannah easily, cheap. أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا. So many troubles you're going to face in order to reach Jannah, because Jannah is not so cheap. ألا إن سلعة الله غالية ألا إن سلعة الله الجنة. So people who want, can you look at الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وارضاه, what did they do? They gave their souls in order to gain the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so they can get Jannah. Jannah is not cheap. People come and they give their souls in jihad because they want to reach Jannah. Of course, jihad is the closest and the easiest and the shortest way to Jannah. Although we don't have much jihad now, unfortunately. However, so remember that true Muslims, they don't give only money or time for Islam in order to deserve Jannah. No, they give their own souls. How many times did Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم go for jihad? How many times Abu Bakr and Umar and the other Sahaba رضي الله عنه went for jihad? How many Sahaba died all around the world? Abu Ayyub al-Ansari in Istanbul, in Turkey. Other Sahaba in Egypt and Libya. Other Sahaba in Iraq and Iran and the other areas. Why are they going this year? Why are they going this? Because their life was only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are going, they went for da'wah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not stay with their families enjoying luxury and fun and happiness. They sold their souls and their bodies for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So everything on you should be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only your money, not only your salah, also your life, even your death should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jannah is not cheap. Jannah, as we described, A lot of the description also you can see in the Holy Quran and Sunnah to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not cheap. It needs a lot of effort in order to reach it. Also, hellfire is, as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, is surrounded by shahawat, enjoyable things. To go to hellfire is easy. All the person has to do is just to obey his desires and enjoy life as he says. Although it's not enjoying the life. See the kafirin around you and say, Alhamdulillah that Allah directed me to Islam. See the kafirin around you. You think they have no restrictions. They have freedom to eat and drink and go and do all these things. It's not true. Although they are enjoying them, Allah told us in His Holy Book that He will torture them with these things. فَلَا تَعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. So they are tortured with their children, with their money, with their health. They are facing troubles in life with these things. Don't look to these kafirin thinking that they are enjoying. No, they are in bad life. لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ ثُمَّ مَوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ. Their enjoyment in this life is very limited. Very limited. In fact, they are not enjoying at all. Because they are suffering. They are suffering troubles in their life. They are suffering with the money. They are suffering with their children. They think this is happiness because they cannot see the true happiness. The true happiness is what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was enjoying. What Sahaba were enjoying. What we are trying to enjoy. Happiness to have your heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Happiness to have your soul for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Happiness to have your life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Happiness to have your death for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the happiness. That is the happiness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tasted. That's what the happiness that Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, they are Sahaba, they enjoyed and tasted. So why don't we go the right track that they have already tested and found? Why don't we follow them in the right track? Every people of this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are on the wrong track except those people who are following the track of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All these things we have discussed about the last day is a must to be believed in order to count a person as a believer of the judgment day or the last day. Inshallah, next week we'll continue to talk about some more cases because time has already gone away. So I will leave the rest of the time if you have any questions to answer. Jazakum Allah khair. Salam. Okay, good question for the brother Arif. He's saying, is every person will go through the judgment? Actually, there is some other hadith, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling us that there are 70,000 of Muslims will not go through judgment. Those people described by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they will go to Jannah directly without any judgment. بلا حساب ولا عذاب. So, Sahaba asked him, Ya Rasulullah, who are they? So he gave some descriptions of these people that they do not use fire as a medicine. They do not depend on the others. They have complete tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't ask people for ruqya and so on. So these descriptions are for the people who go to Jannah without hisab wa la adab. And if we talk about it, it will take us a long time. But there are some people also, يعني, as we said in here, this hadith, they will not pass by the judgment at all. Yes, Jazakallah khairan. Sorry? Could be, could not. No, it's up to the judgment, up to the last day, up to the end of this earth. يعني, it is not counted, Muhammad did not say that it is certain time. It's open. So, let's hope some of us will be part of it. Could be. We cannot say that they are already taken by the Sahaba. No, still, there are faith. Because Muhammad did not say this is only for Sahaba. Nobody counted them. Who will count them? Nobody. Allah knows. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's hope. We still hope. يعني, we always have a strong hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will take care of us. Why not? Why don't we try? Why don't we try our best? If we do not reach this one of these 70,000, at least we'll be safe from hellfire. And as an example, some ladies, they ask, which is a silly question a little bit, but just to see how, they say, Allah told us and Prophet told us in the Quran and Sunnah that men will have 72 حور العين. What about the ladies? Yani, this question is not a matter to answer, but just to see how things goes. Yani, it's enough for a person, whether a lady or a man, is to be saved from hell fire. This is enough pride. This is enough pride. Alhamdulillah. Yani, this is enough gift of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Just to be saved from hell fire is both. فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز. فمن زحزح عن النار moved away from hell fire. وأدخل الجنة he's getting to Jannah فقد فاز. He's a winner. It's enough for a man or a woman or whoever just to get rid of Jahannam. That is fantastic. And to get to Jannah, there's another void also. To get 72 of Hur al-Ain or other things. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what he wants. We are all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He owns us subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can we reject? We cannot. أن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أموالهم وأنفسهم بأن لهم الجنة. Yeah. What about it? Brother is asking about this ayah in Surah التوبة. إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة يقاتلون في سبيل الله. This ayah is talking about jihad. That Allah سبحانه وتعالى have already bought our life and our money. And what is the result? جنة. What is the يعني for what he is buying this? He is going to give us jannah for that. So this is to push Muslims towards jihad. And jihad is a big case, actually. We cannot discuss it in one night. Because actually, jihad is a part of this deen. As Muhammad Rasul told us in the hadith, Ras al-Amr al-Islam wa amuduhu salah wa zirwatu sanamihi jihad fi sabilillah. The top hope of Islam is the jihad. But the jihad is supposed to be the true jihad that's done by the Muslims against kafirs. Of course, case of jihad is misunderstood lately. Everybody is saying that he's making jihad. People are making jihad, they say jihad is against yourself, jihad al-nafs. Some people say jihad is against the kafirin. Some people say they jihad against some Muslims. Some groups, they say jihad against groups, and so on. This is all incorrect. Should be only the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah told us about jihad. If we want to know true jihad, we should see what has Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in jihad. What did his sahaba, Abu Bakr, Umar, wa Uthman, Ali did in jihad? Then we understand the true jihad in this case. Yes. Okay, the signs you mean. There are a lot of signs actually, like the smoke, the dabba, so many signs. But actually, a Muslim should really think of his qiyamah. Every person dies, there's his qiyamah, khalas, finished. So we should really think of what are we ready for, what are we doing for the judgment day. Yani one person came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked him a question. He said, Ya Rasulullah, when is the hour? Yani the finishing of earth. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not answer him directly. He didn't say that hour will be such and such. He said, what have you done for? What have you arranged for? So we are supposed to think now, we are not supposed to think when is the judgment day will come, when is the hour will come, when are we going to die? We should always ask, what are we doing for that day? Are we ready to die? Yani just, we should always ask ourselves, am I ready for this? What am I doing in my day today? Does it mean that I am ready for this? If I am ready for this, alhamdulillah. If I am not, I have some troubles I am doing, wrong things I am doing, and everyone of us is doing this, I should make tawbah now, before I die. Because this could be any time. Yani I saw one, la ilaha illallah, video clip, I think on YouTube or something. One sheikh, he was making dars. Then he went down, khalas, he died. While he was making dars. Subhanallah. Fantastic end. And also you can see people who are making fun and they die while they are making music, singing. And you know who is that. And you can see, as I heard a story, really is a really bad story, wallahi, subhanAllah, when I remember that I feel yani, so afraid. One guy, he went to one of these dirty lands, the dirty areas where they give adultery easily. And he was waiting for his girlfriend. He was drunk. He was a Muslim, unfortunately. She was late for him. When she came, he made sujood for her. And he died. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We have to be afraid that when our day comes, we are not ready for it. Be ready for your death and don't worry about others. Don't worry about any other thing. You will not be worried about any other thing if you are ready for your death. Don't say, I'm still young, I'm healthy, I'm this, I'm that. This is not the case. Death comes like this. Sometimes it comes without any signs before. Some people are sick with cancer, with AIDS and so on. That's the case. Some people, they don't have this. He's sitting and then he just, ma'a salam, he's done. So are we ready for this? This is the question. We should always ask ourselves this question. Are we ready for this? Ready with what? With good deeds. With tawbah of our bad deeds. With asking Allah forgiveness. Istighfar for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from our bad deeds. If this, yes. Remember that story of Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu arda. When he was dying. He was dying and his soul is moving to leave his body. His wife said, Oh, tragedy. What a tragedy. He said, no, don't say this. Say, oh, we are happy. Tomorrow we'll see Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Tomorrow, what do you mean? What does he mean by tomorrow? Tomorrow. Yani he's dying now, he's doing this dunya. He's going to Barzakh, then he's going to Jannah to see Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Can't we become close to these people? Can't we try? We can try. Allah Ta'ala is very generous. Yani he doesn't want you to be like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman. He wants you to try your best. And Allah is more generous. He will give you more than you expected. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us all. جزاكم الله. Yes, brother. Does Allah what? Good question. A brother who is asking, are we getting any punishment for our bad deeds in this life? Or are we going giving good things in our life for our good deeds? Yes. Yes. يعني سبحان الله, the good deeds or the bad deeds will be effective in our life, in the Barzakh and the Judgment Day. So سبحان الله, when a person is very close to Allah سبحانه وتعالى, he worships Allah سبحانه وتعالى, he remembers Allah سبحانه وتعالى, he will be happy in his life. So happiness in here is a reward for Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Happiness, يعني how much people are paying for happiness? How much money? They are paying a lot of money to have happiness. يعني ask these rich people, ask these Bill Gates and the others, how much they pay for happiness? Millions. But they don't get it. They don't get it for sure. Because happiness is only for a good mu'min. So, part of our good deeds, well, Allah Ta'ala rewarded in the dunya. Plus, sometimes Allah Ta'ala will keep all your good deeds for you in the judgment day. So in life, you're not going to give any reward. As Allah tells in the ayah, عجز لهم طيباتهم في حياتهم عجز لكم طيباتكم في حياتكم الدنيا واستمتعتم بها. عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه, he was the leader of a country starts from Egypt to Iran, from Turkey to Sudan. He was controlling all this area and he was wearing a clothes, a lot of cutted in there, an old clothes. So people told him, why don't you eat like others? Yani don't eat like a king, eat like others. He said no. He used to stay years, days and days, weeks, eating only what? Salt and water and dates. That's it. Why? He said, I'm afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me my rewards in here in dunya, not in judgment day. So maybe there are a lot of rewards. You can see some good Muslims, they are getting rewards in dunya by happiness, by good things he's getting in his life. Yes. Vice versa also, Allah Ta'ala may punish some Muslims and some people, some Kafirs, with their bad deeds in life. So you see them, they are facing a lot of trouble in this life. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala is giving us punishment in dunya just to raise our place in Jannah, our grade in Jannah. As Muhammad Rasul says in the hadith that even the shawka, small piece of things gets in your feet while you're walking, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will reward you for that. So you are hurting in the life, but you are gaining good ajr for the judgment day. Five things both can happen. Yes, jazakallah.
Peace of mind is one of the rewards.
Hmm?
Peace of mind, having the peace.
Yes, peace is the happiness. Peace of mind, as Brother Muhammad Karim said, it's part of the reward. And when you are called in this dunya, as-salam. As-salam is one of the names of Allah SWT, and it is also peace for the human being. How do you have peace in your heart? You are relaxing, you go to sleep, as soon as you put your head on the pillow, you are slept already. Why? Because you have a peace inside. This happens for a Muslim. While see the others, the fasiqeen, the kafirin, the munafiqeen, they do not have this. Some of them, they cannot sleep unless they take pills to get sleep. Too much headache, too much trouble on them. No. Muslim is very happy, having a peace inside. Yani, even he sees, receives the worst tragedy ever he thought of, he is still in peace. As Muhammad says in the hadith, عَجَبِي لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. So everything comes to the mu'min, it's good for him because he's having a peace inside of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's making his heart calm. So he sees everything in calmness. As mentioned before, you know, in the beginning we said that La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the gate. And getting into the gate does not mean that he will not be out. So La ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah, like the fence of the Islamic building. Unless the person continues to believe on the five pillars of Islam, then the six pillars of Iman, he will not be counted as a Muslim, because he could leave from the gate of shirk, as you said, polytheism. And a person who says La ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah and he prays five times a day and more, and fast Ramadan and more, and so on, and he goes to the grave and asks him instead of Allah, he's a polytheist, he's not a Muslim. He cannot be called as a Muslim, even if he says La ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah. Because, as we said, the person who makes wudu, fantastic wudu, complete wudu, and he lets air out, what happened to his wudu? Yani, although he spent maybe 15 minutes to make this wudu, 3 times to wash his hands and madmada, yani exactly the way that Muhammad Hassan did. But he just let air out. So he broke his wudu, right? Same thing the person says, Zayr Muhammad Rasulullah and prays and everything, then he breaks all of this. His Islam is gone. Islam is gone. Like, as I told you in the hadith, in the case of polytheism, or the case of mocking to the religion, making fun of Islam or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah tells in his holy book, 3 people were counted as Sahaba. They were counted as Sahaba of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, companions of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They became kafir. Because one of them made fun of Allah and of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and of the Sahaba. The second guy laughed, the third guy kept silent. All of these 3 had been kicked out of Islam, as Allah tells in his holy book, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبْ قُلْ أَبِ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدِهِ. So he excluded them from Iman and Islam totally, just because one word they said it. So Muslim has to be so afraid. Those people are not counted as Muslims, they are Kafirin now. So it doesn't mean that a person says Zayr Muhammad Rasulullah and he continues in his life like a polytheist or like any bad Muslim or any bad person, he's counted as a Muslim. Neither of his name is Muhammad and Ali and Abdul Aziz and so on, he's a Muslim. Islam is a complete building, complete cases. We have to put them all together. Kalima will get him into Islam, but will not keep him in Islam if he breaks it down.
Masih Dajjal is one of the fitna.
Was that?
Masih Dajjal.
Yes.
How to get protected
from it? The Masih Dajjal, as Muhammad told us about, he will come and he will have some kind of miracles. Of course, false miracles. But in front of us, we think it's miracles. He will bring a person, he cut it 2 pieces and he brings them back alive. He gets a person into hellfire and gets, or a fire, and he gets him out alive. So this is another test. It's a fitna for a Muslim. Those only people who have true Islam in their heart will be safe. Those people who believe in Allah totally, clearly, with a certain dogma on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messengers and books and 3 6 pillars of Iman will be safe. Other people who will say only the kalima only, they will not be safe. Because they will follow Him thinking that He is their God. Na'udhu billah. As in the hadith told us that He will be followed. Muhammad Hassan told us that this Al-Masih al-Dajjal will be followed with 70,000 of Jews of Asbahan in Iran. 70,000 Jews from Asbahan. They are following the Masih al-Dajjal. Okay, dying on Friday or in Ramadan or in Hajj, these are only signs. But this is not enough sign to say that he's going to Jannah. Yani, what if a politician who says La ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah and prays five times a day and do all the five pillars of Islam, and he is doing polytheism, asking God subhanahu wa ta'ala, or believing in the parliaments are as God, is he going to be in Jannah even if he does in Ramadan? Or so the case is not when he is dying, because his dying is not up to him. So it's not counted as a good deed for him to die in Ramadan, because it's not up to him to die in Ramadan or other. But it could be a fine. Yani it could be a fine that the person inshallah is in the good track. Yes.
Nature of death.
Nature what?
Nature of death. Accident.
Ah. No, not shaheed is two types actually. Shaheed is true shaheed who is killed for La ilaha illallah, and the other shaheed which is mentioned by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that other shaheed who dies with his stomach troubles and so on. Yani, these are counted as shaheed, but not like the shaheed who has been killed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other people who die, they die yani, in accidents or sicknesses and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them if they have yani, patience on the facing the sickness. Yani, people who have sickness like AIDS or cancer, which is really hurting yani, time, if they are patient for it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them for the patience. But it is not a fine to say that it is good for them or bad. The person who goes to Jannah after scaling, bad deeds will go on, خلاص, it's finished. As Allah told subhanahu wa ta'ala when in the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he makes judgment, he will bring each one of us face to face with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. He will shade him from the others. So he will remind him of his bad things. Although he has already خلاص. He finished with scaling now, he is going to Jannah, but Allah Ta'ala brings him and he shaved him and he killed him. So he feels that, oh, Ya Allah, you have already forgiven. He said, yes, I did. I made sitter for you in dunya and I am forgiving you now, go to Jannah. So these bad deeds have been forgiven already. Jazakumullah khair, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. What's that? Those people are not buried. Kafirs or munafiq, or these people who are not buried in graves, Allah knows how are they going to be punished. But they are going to be punished. Upon the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It doesn't mean that they are not buried, they are not going to be punished. People who have been eaten by fish, as an example, sharks and so on, or they are yani, burned by hellfire, by fire in dunya and so on. We know that they are going to be punished in barzakh. How? Allah ta'ala knows. Because there's no special ayah to say, no, these people are not going to be punished. Jazakumullah khair.